Waukegan, Wisconsin, on March 30th, 1925. At that point, my father was farming in Wisconsin, but 2 years later, he sold the farm and went to Naperville, Illinois, where he attended the seminary of the Evangelical Church, and then became a pastor in that church in Wisconsin. His name was Clifford Olson. He served churches all over the state at Plymouth, Butternut, New Richmond, Norwalk, and finally Richfield Colgate, which is just north of Milwaukee. I attended school my first 3 years in Butternut, and then when we moved to New Richmond from the fourth grade through high school, I went to the high school in New Richmond. My family was always very much interested in further education and were interested in reading and writing and literary pursuits. My maternal grandfather, Albert Hess, was the editor of the Arcadia Leader in Arcadia, Wisconsin, and was a staunch Democrat and for many years was postmaster at in Arcadia. My mother had attended the university in Madison for 2 years, I think from 1918 to 1920. Both parents loved to read and were interested in books, and this was a very important part of our family. It was always assumed that I was going on to college, and I assumed that too. In the meantime, both my parents and I had teachers who were very instrumental in helping me in this process. I remember two particularly. Our chemistry teacher in high school was a man called Mr. Mumpson, and there were several of us who were interested in going on for further education. So in addition to our classroom teaching, he organized some clubs in which we could pursue some of our interests in physics and in chemistry. The teacher that I had for English was also very much interested. I was fortunate in that in my seventh and eighth grade, we had a strong emphasis on grammar and sentence construction. And when my English teacher in high school was a woman called Miss Lynch, she also taught us Latin, but she was very much concerned about making sure that we had a good background if we were going on to college. She realized that my grammar and sentence construction material was good enough, and so she arranged to bring her own books to classroom and let me read in the classroom while other people were studying grammar. During that winter, one winter, I read War and Peace, and got through the whole thing. Since I've read it since then, and it didn't take me nearly so long as it did that junior year in college. When I was 13, I made a decision that I was going to the mission field, and so the rest of my preparation was to get ready to go to the mission field. When I was 16, during the summer, I had a ruptured appendix. That was 1941. I was a patient at St. Francis Hospital in La Crosse. It was the year that penicillin came on the market and was not available to me at that time. I was critically ill and fortunately survived. After I left La Crosse, I spent several weeks at Arcadia in the hospital there and was much impressed by the head nurse at that point, who gave me very good care. She was the wife of the local doctor. And she really influenced me to go into nursing. Our mission board at that time required that nurses have an academic degree before they went to the mission field. And there were only two schools that offered an academic degree in Wisconsin at that point, Marquette and UW-Madison. Not only that, finances were a real matter of concern, and I had a scholarship to the university in view of the fact that I was valedictorian in my class. So the decision was made that I would go to Madison, to the School of Nursing. Madison at that point had quite a reputation as being an atheistic, godless school, and I'm sure my family was concerned, but certainly people warned me about the fact that God was not ever mentioned or even considered to exist at Madison. I think, like many college students, I went through a crisis of faith during the time that I was in Madison, but it came out of the whole thing still firmly determined to go to the missionary field. I'm sure that many of my theological views were changed during that time. Strong influences in my life during the time that I lived in Madison was the First Evangelical Church, which was just two blocks off of the square. And I was very much involved in that church, both in the youth fellowship program that was there. I sang in the choir and was involved in all sorts of church activities. You've asked how my schooling was financed. Well, first of all, of course, I had the scholarship. Quite a bit of the support came from my parents. At that point, because it was during the war, one could take a year of college and then go into nursing school, or you could take 2 years of college and then go into nursing school. During my first year in college, my mother had an aunt who died who left her a small legacy, and that legacy was enough to pay for my second year of college. I did some work. I did cleaning, various cleaning jobs. I did some babysitting. And one of the things that I was involved with was cooking in a co-op. The Baptist Student Fellowship had an eating co-op there. I think there were 14 or 15 of us. And this was much cheaper to eat down there. And I cooked 3 afternoons a week. And was able to save considerable funds at that point. And during some of my schooling, I think it was after I finished my nursing, one of the jobs that I had was folding papers for the Progressive. Every week you had to fold the papers before they could be mailed, and I spent some time during that. In 1945, then, in summer, I went into nursing, and at that point there were no tuition charges in the School of Nursing. Not only that, we got our room and board and laundry free, so that saved considerable funds, and I didn't have to worry about money so much at that point. Then when I finished my nursing program, I went back to the university, which was a part of the whole scheme, to finish up my degree. And now, since I was a registered nurse, I worked as a nurse at Wisconsin General. I worked on the 6th floor on a male surgical floor. Item 4 was on room and board. I lived in private housing because, again, I thought it would be cheaper. I lived for the first 2 years at a house across the house on University Avenue that was right next to Luther Memorial Church. There were about, 12 or 13 of us that lived there. I shared a room with two other people. It was cheaper, and it was close to the university. Sharing a room with two other people was not always helpful when it came to studying. And I remember many times I went across the street to the girls' athletic division, which was across the street, and they had a big library where hardly anybody went, and it was very quiet, and I could do my studying there without any difficulty. As I remember, there were very few house rules. The landlady did do the cleaning, and I suppose there were some restrictions, but I don't remember that there were many problems. Everybody was fairly well behaved. When I got into the dormitory, there were many more rules, and I think we were more closely controlled. There are rules about when you had to come in at night, and if you went away for the weekend or something, you had to tell them where you were going. After I finished nursing, I lived on several different housing up beyond Breeze Terrace, and then would either take the bus or walk down to the university for my classes. I lived in a number of private houses. Again, where there were no cooking facilities, and I think I must have eaten some of my meals at the hospital then at that point. My final semester was in doing field work for public health. I was getting a degree in public health at that point. And I went up to Wausau, and I worked with the public health department in Wausau in Marathon County. My area was the northwest corner of Marathon County. Again, I lived in a private home and was able to travel around the county. I remember several instances, several things that happened with during the time that I had finished. In 1948, the summer of 1948, I worked in the polio ward. At that point, we had a huge polio epidemic that summer, and all of the people who had to be in the iron lungs were brought down to Madison and were housed in what had been the old pediatric building. I can't remember, we must have had between 20 and 25 iron lungs that were there. And we were using the Kenny packs. The Kenny packs were named after Sister Kenny. And they, we took pieces of hot, pieces of blanket and put them in boiling water and then rang them out. We had special ringers that we rang them out. And then we applied these hot blankets to the patient's afflicted limbs, usually their legs or sometimes their arms, and then covered that with a piece of rubber of some kind to hold the heat in, and those Kenny packs had to be changed four times a day. It was hot, and there wasn't any air conditioning, and I spent, for weeks, I spent doing nothing but Kenny packs on those patients who were in the iron lungs, or those, some of those who weren't having respiratory problems. We still use the Kenny packs. I also worked as an organist. I had taken organ lessons from Ruth Pilger Andrews, who was the organist at Luther Memorial. And by the time I'd finished my nursing, I was good enough so that I could get a few jobs as an organist, and I played in several churches in Milwaukee. At the end of September in 1948, my mother died very suddenly, and this changed both my habits and my living conditions. I stopped all my other jobs, and I would go home to Norwalk every weekend to help my father do cooking and cleaning and laundry and so on, until I finished that my work that year, and then in the spring of 1949 is when I went to Marathon, to Wausau, and I wasn't able to get home as often. I think I came home every other weekend at that point and was able to help him with his housework. Number five, course of study. As I said earlier, I always planned to be a nurse, and I went to Madison with that in mind. It was during the war, and nurses were very much in demand, and I think there were some 150 applicants to get in the School of Nursing, of whom only 40 could be admitted. So there was a tremendous competition to try to get in the School of Nursing. One of the courses that was the weeding out point was a physiology course. It was taught by one of the doctors from the medical school. And it was in this course that those of us who passed that course then were able to get into the School of Nursing, and the others didn't. The man was a very fearsome thing, and I remember how frightened I was. And I used to sit in the back of the class so that he wouldn't call on me. He tended to call on people who sat in the front. But one day he did call on me, and I had to go to the board and draw a picture of a spinal, a vertebrae in the spinal column. And I had learned this very well, and I had it down to the finest detail, and I had all everything in it. And when I turned away from the board, he had a small smile on his face, and he said, well, we really don't need to be that specific about it. So I was able to pass the course. I remember a number of our teachers who had a great effect on me. One of them was Miss Emanuel, who taught us nursing arts. Then Miss Ziegel taught us maternity nursing and gynecology. We had professors, doctors from the medical school that came over and taught us, and Dr. Gantz taught us pediatrics. I remember those particularly. I think I need to say a word about Miss Murray. Miss Murray was the head of the school, and she was of the old school. She was Canadian by birth and had been one of the first Florence Nightingale scholars to study at St. Thomas's in London. She was very particular about our behavior, about our clothing, and about our functioning as a nurse. And she used to walk around with a ruler because our skirts were to be 12 inches from the floor. I had a lot of problems with the clinical part of nursing. I had done very well with the academic part, but when I came to the clinical aspects, I had some difficulties. My first rotation was in pediatrics, and I really had a difficult time. And at the end of those first 3 months, the instructor told me she thought I ought to leave nursing. I was never going to be a nurse. Well, things went from bad to worse from there on. By the time I had finished 6 months of training, a number of people, including Miss Murray, had told me she thought I ought to leave and that I couldn't perform adequately and I ought to leave nursing. And so I decided that this was about in November, that I would drop out of school and come back in January and go into teaching. And I wrote this home to my parents. And my mother wrote a blistering letter back and said that we didn't have any quitters in our family and that I'd better stay in school where I was at the present time, and that there wasn't any money for me to come home, which was true, and so I just better stay at Madison and continue. So I did. One of the people who was very helpful and kind to me was Miss Ziegel, and eventually I did make it clinically. We had to rotate through all of the various sections of the hospital. Some of them we spent a very short period of time, 2 weeks, and sometimes we spent, like in pediatrics, we spent 3 months. We also had to affiliate in Chicago because there were very few deliveries in the maternity department at the university hospitals, and so we went to Chicago, to Chicagoline Inn, to spend 3 months. I went down in November of 45 stayed there over Christmas, and then I was able to come home, spend some time over New Year's with my family. The whole experience in Chicago was a fascinating one. This has been the great hospital where Dr. DeLee had worked, and his aura was still over all of us. Our living quarters were miserable. We had rats and cockroaches in the house. The food was not very good. There were a number of other schools who also were in the same program, and the Wisconsin students were always the ones who were complaining about the food. All the other students wore white shoes and black stockings. The Wisconsin students, with their uniforms, wore brown shoes and brown stockings, and since we wore scrub dresses or something to that effect, the only way they could tell we were from Wisconsin was by our shoes. And they finally said they got sick and tired of these brown-shoed people who were always coming in and complaining about the food. I spent almost all of the time in Chicago on night duty. There were some day students who came in and they got the day duty, and we spent time on night duty, which was different than it was in Madison. Miss Murray and Miss Emanuel had a philosophy that students were there to learn, not to labor. And so we worked very little night duty and very little PM duty in Madison, but we got our fill of it down in Chicago. As an aside, when I got to London later on to do my midwifery, somebody had asked me, I was in a very poor hospital out in the Greenwich area, and somebody said, why had I come to that poor hospital? Why hadn't I gone to a good hospital like Lying In Chicago? And I said, well, I'd been at Lying In Chicago, and I didn't learn anything about delivering babies, so that's what I was in London to learn. Then, along about the middle of February of 46, we came back to Madison then to do more of our clinical. One of the interesting experiences was that in early in February of 46, there had been a terrible snowstorm in Wisconsin. It had come up very suddenly. And we ended up with a whole group, large group of men who had been caught in that snowstorm and who had frozen hands and feet. And many of them had to have their hands and feet amputated, and we spent a great deal of time doing dressings before in an effort to try and save these fingers and toes and hands and feet. But But I think all of them eventually had to have some amputation. Well, then I finally finished the clinical part of nursing, and I went back to the university to finish up my academic work. Several courses stand out. I took the course in introductory economics that Professor Kiekhofer taught. It was not that I was particularly interested in economics, but everybody said one shouldn't miss his class, and so I took it and enjoyed it and did learn a little bit. I was still preparing to go to China, and so I took a course in Chinese history. I took that in the summertime. I remember having classes out on Bascom Hill. One of the interesting people at the hospital was Dr. Middleton, William S. Middleton, as he used to say. He had been head of the military services for the military for the Allied forces in Europe. And again, a very interesting man, very knowledgeable and a good teacher. I also need to mention Dr. Schmidt, who was the chief surgeon, who again impressed me with his, not only his surgical ability, but his teaching ability, and he was always willing to teach student nurses as well as the medical students. When I came back to the campus then, after I'd finished my nursing, the campus was a totally different institution. When I came to Madison in 1943, there were 10 girls to every fellow on the campus, and there were so few. When I came back to the campus then in 1948, the veterans were back. And now there were a large number, all of the classes had a lot of men in them. And they were very serious students, and they were determined to get ahead. So there was tremendous competition for grades and for classes and so on. And it made a totally different atmosphere on the campus. Number six, you've asked about clubs and organizations. I don't think I belong to any of them. I was so involved in my studies and in trying to earn a living that I really wasn't involved in any sort of activities. I don't remember reading the Daily Cardinal. I presume that I did, but I don't have any recollection of that. My leisure time. When I first went to Madison, I spent a lot of time going to movies. I had been restricted in attending movies as a child. My parents thought this was a wicked thing to do, and although I occasionally saw movies, I didn't see very many. But when I got down to Madison, I really went to town and I saw movies. This went on for about, I suppose, 6 months to a year when I got it out of my system. And so then I decided that I wanted to take organ lessons. And instead of spending the money that I was spending on movies, I was going to spend it on organ lessons. And as I mentioned, I was Ruth Pilger Andrews was my teacher. And although I never became a great organist, she taught me a tremendous amount about music and music appreciation. And that was a wonderful, wonderful time. As I said, when I first went to Madison, there were hardly any fellows on the campus, and almost nobody dated. When I got into nursing, though, I did do some dating, and I dated particularly a young man who was an X-ray technician at the hospital. He shared many of my Christian views, but he also was a musician. And we used to spend a lot of our time in playing duets, or when we would go down to church, we would play piano and organ duets. I think we did other things too, but the music particularly stands out in my mind. I didn't do much other dating, occasional one, but not very often. I was not involved in sports, and I think that the only time I ever went to a football game was when Wisconsin was playing Brown. It sort of sticks out in my mind, but I was not involved with other activities on the campus, other sporting activities on the campus. I've already talked about the role of religion in my campus experience. Shorty Collins, who was head of the Baptist Student Center right off campus, was a tremendous influence on my life, and I owed him a great deal. And my pastor, Bernard Bartel at the Evangelical Church, also had a great influence on me and was helpful in helping me to maintain my religious life. I was not involved in politics in any way, and I don't remember much about that. I was aware that there was a great deal of alcohol consumption on the compound. Again, like going to movies, that was something that had been forbidden in my childhood. And I've always been a teetotaler, and being at Madison didn't change my practice any and hasn't changed it since then. I've never smoked and I've never been into drugs. I was so single-minded that I was on my way to the mission field, and that was all that mattered. And number 10 is discrimination versus inclusion. Yes, there was discrimination. I've understood that there was a rule, if not written, certainly unwritten, that no blacks were admitted either to the School of Nursing nor to the School of Medicine. We didn't have any male students. We did have in our class one Japanese American student, and I guess I wasn't aware or conscious of this kind of discrimination. I knew that exists, but it didn't affect me any. Now, when I was in living on University Avenue, a number of my roommates were Jewish. And many of them were from the East Coast, that apparently there was difficulty in their getting into schools in the East Coast, and so they came to Madison. When I got into the dormitory at the School of Nursing, I did have a Jewish roommate, and she was from Wisconsin. We've kept in contact with each other through the years. We certainly were of no like mind on religious matters, but we did get along all right and didn't have any problems. So that seemed to have been a good part of my my campus experience. I have no recollection of who the president was at that point. I suppose I could look it up. Or of the dean of men or dean of women, but I did talk considerably about the dean at the School of Nursing. When I graduated, I finally graduated then from the university in June of 1949. It was a very, at one of the graduations, and that may have been in the one in 48, it was the 100th anniversary of the university, and the university gave out honorary degrees, and I remember that one of the chief recipients of that honorary doctorate was Trigvi Lee, who was then president of the United Nations. Graduation was held in the stadium. I remember in 49, my mother had died, and my grandfather and my father were the two that came to attend the graduation. I continued and was able to achieve the goal that I'd set out to do. In September of 1949, I went to Yale University and spent a year there studying Chinese. This was a non-academic course. It was a practical course. And in January of 1950, Mao Zedong took over all of China, and China was closed, and the 65 of us who were at Yale studying Chinese never did get to China. I finished the course there and stayed until May and came back to Wisconsin. And then in October of that year, 1950, I was sent to Africa. I went to Britain first and spent a year, 14 months, studying midwifery and got my British certificates, and then from there went out to Sierra Leone, where I stayed from 52 to 63. On the whole, I felt my education at Madison was extremely helpful, and there were things that I didn't know and wished I had learned, but I also had a lot of practical skills and practical knowledge that I'd gained at the university that I thought was extremely helpful.